the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My wife Sylvia felt that her body was getting out of shape, so she got her doctor's consent to join a fitness club and start exercising. So she decided to take an aerobics club for seniors. She bent, twisted, gyrated, jumped up and down, perspired for an hour. But by the time she got her leotards on, the class was over. That's terrible. Oh, oh, oh. Should I leave now? Today's sermon is titled, A Heart for God Needs Time. Time to live life in the centre of God's will. And time, or lack of it, is the greatest obstacle which keeps Christians apart from God in any real and meaningful way. But then I think, hold on, there are 24 hours in every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. How come many are able to have a heart for God and make that all-important time to be with him every day? So then I say to myself, being a very logical person, self, it must be a matter of priorities. I speak under three headings this morning. One, the danger of being distracted from the important things of life. Jesus had come to a village and a woman named Martha had invited him into the home she shared with her sister Mary. Here was a tremendous opportunity to listen to Jesus speak. But Martha was resentful because she had to work while others got the blessing. But whose fault was it? That's where Martha got it wrong. She blamed Mary for not getting her priorities right, for wanting to listen to the words of Jesus. Not only that, she got resentful against Jesus, who was allowing it to happen. You can hear the resentment as she spoke to Jesus. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. All the anger and resentment she felt came from her own wrong choice. She could have sat down and listened to Jesus, but she chose to do things for Jesus rather than be with Jesus and enjoy his teaching. Secondly, the good is the enemy of the best. Notice how Jesus responds to Martha. You can sense the compassion in his voice as he replies, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. Her whole attitude was wrong. He was concerned enough about her to correct her. And Jesus loves us enough to correct us if he sees wrong attitudes in our heart. What Martha was doing in her busyness could have been seen in the eyes of the world as being good. But as the saying goes, the good is the enemy of the best. Martha's priorities were wrong. The best thing for her to have done at that time would have been also to sit and feed on the words of Jesus. As somebody said after this first service, it would have been okay these days. She could have sat at the words of Jesus and then put the food in the microwave and everything would have all taken shape, would have flowed beautifully. Let me ask, have we got our priorities right? Have we suffered because our priorities were wrong? There's still time to change so that the good is no longer the enemy of the best in our lives. Three, choosing the best for life. Jesus said, only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Mary had the right priorities. Perhaps she had the words of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3 in her mind as she was faced with the decision whether to get food ready or to listen to Jesus. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Faced with the choice between bread and the words of the Lord, she chose to forego bread that she might listen to the words of the Lord. And Christians, who are always on the go are in danger. Now, some people think that clergy only work on Sundays. Now, if that were the case, we would have the best employment conditions in Australia. But in reality, many clergy find it almost impossible to relax, because as they're paid principally by the people of the parish, they must justify their existence by working 12-hour days, often at the expense of harmonious marriages, health and a sense of well-being. They often cannot sit down and be quiet and contemplate. It's impossible to ever be up to date on visiting. It's not possible to live up to everyone's expectations, because where there's a congregation of 150, there's 75 different expectations. And after all, we know we're here to save the world for the Lord. But it's imperative for you and me that we do have time to sit at the feet of Jesus. I used to say to Sylvia, the Lord has put me on earth to accomplish a certain number of things in my ministry, and right now I'm so far behind I'll need to live till I'm 150. Monica Furlong, a great Christian writer, wrote this, which I keep in my prayer book. It's something which I reflect on occasionally and is appropriate for all of us and even parish as a whole to reflect on. She writes, I am clear about what I want from the clergy. I want them to be people who can, by their own happiness and contentment, challenge my ideas about status, success, money, and so teach me how to live more independently of such drugs. I want them to be people who can dare, as I do not dare, and as few of my contemporaries dare, to refuse to work flat out and to refuse to work more strenuously than me. I want them to be people who dare, because they are secure enough in the value of what they are doing, to have time to read, to sit and think, and who face the emptiness and possible depression which often attacks people when they do not keep the surface of their minds occupied. I want them to be people who have faced this kind of loneliness and discovered how fruitful it is, and I want them to be people who have faced the problems of prayer. I want them to be people who can sit still without feeling guilty and from whom I can learn some kind of tranquility in a world which has almost lost the art. Now, I wouldn't want you to get the wrong idea that I'm preaching to you as an expert who has mastered this particular problem. On the contrary, it's an illustration of how we preach to ourselves as much as to anyone else. I'm not a Mary. I'm not a person who can sit still easily and do nothing. Like many of you, I suspect I find it hard. Not all of us do. There are some who have no difficulty in finding time to sit around and find procrastinating the easiest thing in the world. You know, there are three types of people in our world. Those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what happened. But it's not those people we're addressing today. It's the Marthas we're concerned about. For this gospel is really Martha's story. I think the reason we Marthas find it hard to let go of our busyness has to do with the Protestant work ethic. This is the notion that we justify ourselves by working. Work is good for us. We have to be busy doing things in order to justify our existence. This leads us to the fear that people might accuse us of being lazy if we're not filling up our time. And so our motto becomes, procrastination is the thief of time. If we feel like that, let us remember today's gospel that busyness does not save us, but making time to be still and quiet before the Lord might. What implications does that have for us? Firstly, that busyness is not necessarily a virtue. Even busy people need quiet and space in their lives. Now, I know that there are certain things that have to be fitted in somehow. Perhaps we should carry out an audit of our diaries and evaluate all that we do. Does it serve a purpose? Or is it about scrubbing doorsteps daily? Are there things that we do which serve little purpose. The difference between Mary and Martha speaks to our busy and distracted lives. One saw what was necessary for the household to run properly. The other saw what was necessary for the life of a disciple to run effectively. Spiritual strength and growth means sitting at the Lord's feet and listening to what he says. There is no other way. Individually and corporately, we need to pursue Mary's example. How little time we give to listening compared to the time we spend talking. Time alone with God. Time to listen to him in his word. Time to look into our own souls. And taking time to look into one's soul can be a frightening experience. Therefore, we think it's easier to remain perpetually busy. Time to cultivate both heart and mind is hard to find, but it is necessary. The deepest need and the deepest longing of the heart is for God. This is how he made us, when we cheat ourselves, when we deny ourselves time with him. But there is still Martha. Jesus commended Mary for her choice, but, and the but is a big but, without Martha's, nothing would happen. Even those who withdraw to be with the Lord cannot sit his feet forever. Comes the time when we need to be stirred into action. Martha does works of mercy. Martha evangelizes. Martha looks out for new and isolated people in the congregation. She takes meals to the sick, picks up those who have no transport, follows up when people are absent from the congregation. No Martha, no action. And life demands action. Spiritual life demands action. We don't have a choice. The Bethany family doesn't illustrate isolated aspects of life with God. True godliness is a complex interaction of the listening responsiveness of Mary and the activity and practical engagement of Martha.